I'm sorry, I'm closing up. You're gonna have to leave, little guy.
Oh, but I can't. I'm trying to find my way back home, and it's getting too dark, and there's orcs out there.
I know. Look, I know you've been saying this over and over and over your thimble there, but look, I gotta close up. You either gotta rent a room or, you know what? There's some adventurers that are staying in the barn. Maybe they'll let you crash with them. They've already paid for the barn.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go check it out and see if I can't get them to help me.
That's the closet. The back door's over there.
Excuse me. Sorry. Which way? That way? Oh, I don't know how doors
work.
No,
that's the washroom. No. The back. Here, I'll open it for you. There you go.
Thank you, Gerald.
Yep. There you go. Hey everyone, welcome to DM to GM, the podcast where we help you get your game started and start playing today. I am your GM, Sean Howard, from The End of Time and Other Bothers.
And I'm your DM from Dungeons & Dragons, Russ Moore.
And we've got a fun episode. It might be two, it might be three episodes where we decided to sort of throw out some prompts of how we could, seven ways we could create a fun session where blank, blank, blank happens. Some of these, I think, were me when I may have had a little bit too much to drink one night.
Nah,
and I was just
fine.
Sending. Yeah. So we actually couldn't really interpret them. So we're just making up adjectives on the spot. So tell us, what's our first challenge, Russ?
Our first challenge, in a very BuzzFeed listicle kind of way, is seven ways you can create a fun session with a bar and a lost goblin.
So what you just heard was us, without any talking, just starting to improvise that. So that was the opening to our Lost Goblin table. So let's say, so you're going to hear us how we might prep for this session. So the idea is, we've come up with the idea, maybe Sean's a little hungover. The table's going to be here in 30 minutes or 15. And the only thing I've come up with is a lost goblin and that the party's at a bar or a tavern somewhere.
Sure.
So, what are the seven ways we could create a fun session with our table with that idea?
Well, as our scene setup, the lost goblin could be running from something, but can't find his or her way back home without crossing through this horde of orcs or pack of chimera, or I don't know if there's packs of chimera, but maybe there is in your world. But there's something stopping this goblin. So the goblin is presenting this offer of adventure.
I love that. So the goblin needs to get somewhere and is sort of defenseless, and you're hoping that the party will take pity on them.
Fingers crossed.
Right. So that, but that would set up how we would play that goblin, right? We would set it up emotionally, right? Like you were playing that goblin, like, oh, but I'm not sure how to, right? Like,
yeah, just uncertain, nervous, because they know that if they get kicked out by this bar owner, that they have to now go confront this by themselves.
Yeah.
Sean, as the bar owner, Gerald, saw this and is like, well, actually, adventurers can go get, you know, and then go find the adventurers and present them this offer of goblin needing escort.
Right. So one way to play this goblin is sort of needy and hoping that you can rely on the emotional heartstrings of your party to help this little guy. And so now you've got basically this whole session, like helping this little guy get wherever. I'm pretty sure you and I would also be quick to have, like, my brain instantly, Russ, wants to make this be something nefarious. Like, the goblin's not as innocent as they're pretending to be.
Oh, absolutely. because as much as we all play lovely goblins in game and people attached to them because they're exuberant characters,
yep.
It's also set up in most games that you're going to play that goblins are considered evil characters or characters that try to lure or trap other beings. So
yep.
The goblin needing escort for legitimate reasons, there's one possible way. Goblin needing escort because they're trying to pull these adventurers into a trap, there's your number two.
That's number two idea. Third idea is the goblin is running from something. So the goblin needs to get to their home. So there's these orcs or whatever, chimeras, and they're desperate to get the party to help them because they're running from something. And that running from something could be they're being hunted because they're a goblin and there's nothing wrong with them. They've done nothing wrong. Again, pull on the heartstrings. Or they've stolen something. They've done something bad in the town and the guard is coming and they need to get these players to help them pronto. That sounds very much like a character I brought onto Dungeons.
It sounds exactly like, yeah. Ogru.
So that's four. We're at four. Yeah, Ogru. It's okay, guys. It's all good over here.
Yeah, don't worry. They won't catch up to us.
Okay, so that's four. Okay, three more ways you can. Let's take a. So then it's always fun to just throw a left-hand curve. Like, we know we have a goblin. What was the setup? We have a goblin and a bar and a lost goblin. What if it's, okay, it's a lost statue of a goblin. The bar is actually, like the guards, the bar itself is basically built around an altar to the goblin king, and the statue that was the center of everything has been stolen.
There you go. So you're no longer presented with this goblin NPC.
No, you're dealing with the bar owner who's really mad.
There's a big reward for the suckers who bring that statue back to this town, because that's the only reason people come to visit, is to see the Goblin King statue.
Or steal it. What are you all doing here?
You're new in town.
Where were you last night?
Sorry, sir. We just came in off the road and thought we'd stop for a pint and whatever your finest food is. Tell me the menu.
Open that backpack you're carrying.
Okay, here. Yes, I see. You're bigger than I am. Yep. Statues.
Okay, you're fine. Yeah, what do you want for food?
Yeah, so you can basically run a whole thing off just like the statue's been stolen and the bartender's really angry, but also needs help.
So, there's that initial conflict of you're new in town, maybe you stole it. Through ways, you know, however many ways you want to go through, they can prove to this shop owner that they're not here to steal it, but in fact could help them. Now you've got you can pull out your Murder, She Wrote and find the clues.
And my table would turn that into a game where they would start dragging in things in bags that were very large. Like,
what do you got there?
Oh, just potatoes. And it would be a callback to when we gave them a bunch of potatoes. And he'd be like, that's it, drawing a big axe. And they'd be like, no, look, it's potatoes. Right? We would just keep playing with trying to make him think they might have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Two more, Russ. Two more.
What if the goblin's hiding?
Ooh. And it's her sister. It's her sister that you meet, right? So it's two sisters, and one of them is hiding, and the main sister needs help to find her, right?
There it is. Yep.
Right, because she's afraid that her sister is gonna run away from home forever, and she'll never see her again because of something horrible that the sister said or something that happened, and she feels awful and she really wants to find her sister before something bad happens because there are orcs in these woods or whatever.
And the goblin wedding is coming up.
Yeah, and she's getting married and she's run away and her sister feels so awful and it was just so much pressure with the wedding.
It's a real cold feet thing. I mean, don't you have the wedding in the middle of a pandemic? I don't know.
And then I said, well, maybe you should think about everyone else for once, and that was awful and I shouldn't have said it. Yeah. So you could set it up that way. I love it. All right, that's six.
There's a goblin vision, like a fever dream. They've drunk too much. They get a dream or some sort of spectral image of this goblin
delivering wine.
Yeah, delivering wine.
And in their vision, they see that this person is the key to something.
Key to bringing joy back to the town. Not that joy and wine are directly tied to each other, because we never say that.
No. Okay. Yeah, I love it. So then the vision ends, and it's from their goddess, and they feel so like they get this sense that this is their new mission from their goddess. Like, they're asked, they have to answer it. And then you roll in a goblin that is a total piece of garbage merchant.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Yeah, I got some wine I can sell you. How much money you got? Right?
This wine saves the world. Ah, this guy.
This guy. So now we're sort of playing with a classic trope of not Grinch Stole Christmas, the other one, the angry guy with the three ghosts of Christmas past and Scrooge. Oh,
Christmas Carol. Yeah.
Christmas Carol. So now we're playing with this idea of redemption, right? Which could be a lot of fun to play. Like, what are the things that could be happening to this goblin that they don't realize if they don't change their ways?
Now a very social encounter that you have to take this goblin and your adventurers through, which are oftentimes a lot of, well, I love social encounters. They're one of my favorite things.
Me too.
But it, you know, steps your table away from the traditional combat, dungeon dive, all that sort of stuff. Even a lot of these other suggestions, like there's a heavy combat play. This one would be, you have to persuade this person to stop being so terrible.
Exactly.
Maybe you get to use, like, maybe your goddess grants you a power in order to show this goblin visions and take them through different cool Christmas Carol past, present, future things.
And you get to meet the people that, and you get to see why they're the way they are, like how they were hurt and they were going to get married and that person left them at the altar, or, you know, you get to start to feel for why this person is the way they are. So that's seven ideas from that one prompt. We're seeing this. Well, again, I guess I wrote the prompt, but I don't quite remember. It was so long ago. Not that I was that, had drank. I don't think I drank that much that night. So
you're fine. It was just a long time ago that we came up with it, but we didn't come up with any of those seven before sitting down here.
No, we just sort of read it. We're laughing. And then we're like, here we go. So here's a cool thing that sort of Russ and I have both learned recently. And Russ before me sort of invited me in. It is a lot easier sometimes to jam on this if you're not alone.
Yes.
Right? It can be hard sometimes sitting at the table with some postcards and being thinking, oh, I got one idea. So, Russ, why don't you talk about the thing that you started up where you've sort of been bringing together GMs from different tables to, like, meet and for us to, like, say, hey, what do you need to jam on?
Yeah, this started as me sitting in my silo. Trying to come up with another, you know, 100 mazes to put people through.
And then can't fly above.
Yeah. What if it wasn't a maze and I had some other ideas? So I asked Sean and Tom, who was around our table, runs games, and some other DMs that I knew who create fun things, and presented them the question of, hey, do you have sometimes problems coming up with cool, fun solutions to or ideas for your game, and brought them into a brainstorming group that we get together. I mean, once every couple months, it doesn't need to be a lot, but everybody comes to the table with one or two ideas that they're either stuck on or they have coming up that they know they want to be big, but know that it's going to take them a bit to come up with a solid idea by themselves, and just present the idea and see what flows from everybody else. I try not, when I present my idea, I try not to immediately give my first thoughts on it, because I like to hear what Sean and Tom and all of them jump on as ways to get outside opinions, because you only have your point of view in the world, your experiences, your lived experiences, your books you've read. Everybody else has done and completely different things that'll draw different media or different life experiences that'll give them a cool way to get through an encounter or to present a new encounter for you. But find people online, in our Discord, DMs and GMs, a whole bunch of them live in there, bounce ideas and come up with some new cool ways to play around your table.
Yeah, it can be really helpful. One of the things that can happen is when you're just sort of jamming on a random thing, it's like you can come up with lots of options, but there's this energy that happens when you can build off another person that's really fun, and you both start laughing. You probably heard us doing it, and the ideas just flow. It can be hard to do that sometimes alone, and even more so when you feel trapped. You feel stuck within the constraints of your world. Like you've stacked so many things and they're competing. And I guess I just do another maze or whatever. I remember one of the first sessions I came to, Russ had been given a challenge that had some pretty tight constraints on it. It was for a new product that was launching for D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. And it had to be done in a certain way under a certain time constraint. And you had to see a certain percentage of time spent in this part of the new module. And like, there were a lot of constraints. Like, you just walking through the constraints was like, whoa.
Yeah. How much you had to showcase necessarily.
Yeah. Like, they wanted to see this aspect of it. And
And make it all meaningful, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's the hard part.
And you're going to bring a random group of people through this and it's going to be recorded. So I think it was a lot of pressure, but here's one of the cool things. When you're feeling pressure of all the constraints, it can feel tough. But one of the things we now know about brainstorming and creative ideation is that constraints, the stronger the constraints, the easier it is for a group of people to jam ideas. So, for example, bringing a bunch of people together and saying, oh, I just want the coolest D&D campaign ever, Russ. Help me.
It's like, okay.
What system? What? Yeah, like, we just have questions.
What world? What are you? Yeah, what's presented to you? What
players? like we just have so many questions. We can't jam anything.
Yeah.
But when Russ laid out all these constraints, it was awesome to see how Tom had an idea, and then I had an idea, and then he built on mine, and I built on his idea, and Russ was like, oh my God, you can't do that.
Furious then, writing throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, but then Russ was like, no, that doesn't work in the world. And I'm like, well, what if it's spectral? Or someone what said if? Something silly.
It's the what ifs that come from that.
Yeah.
Because you get stuck in those constraints. You're like, well, this is what we need to do. So narrow focused. But somebody brings the what if then.
I think someone said something like, what if they're all sleeping? And I remember Russ just going, that's it! And he just starts scramble writing. He's trying to write all his thoughts that he's having. Like, it's not even what we did. It's just that question.
Yeah.
So it can be a really super way, if you're feeling stuck, to jam with a friend. Like, another person who's thinking about starting a table or have a table that's running. One of you could have more experience than the other. Doesn't matter. You can sort of just have a safe space to jam and help each other. And sometimes your ideas aren't going to end up in what they do, like 90% of the time. But that conversation can be really freeing.
Yeah. Sometimes all it takes is that one key thought, like they're sleeping, and now it's a dreamscape that they're going through, where they're living it and they're feeling it. But you can jump places quicker.
That
you
was
can
the
go
key thing
to do things and see things faster.
You can now jump them to new scenes without having to get them through the problem. Because you had to get everyone. I don't know if that was actually the solution, but it was something like that. But I remember you had to get within a limited 2-hour time frame all these different spaces. And so it was like, what if they don't solve the riddle? Like, you know what I mean? To get out of this first space.
Yeah.
So find a friend. Start up. I don't know what we call it. Like, what do we call ours? It's just like a.
It's just a brainstorming group, a writer's session.
Yeah. That was super fun. I hope you all can sort of take something from that. If not starting your own session, at least seeing how we can jam ideas from a simple idea. So sometimes when you're planning your session, that silly idea that pops in your head, don't throw it away. Write it down and be like, if that's true, what else could be true? And you can come up with all these other ideas off it.
Absolutely. And then come join us in our Discord. Links down in the description. We've got a whole bunch of really great people who are wanting to and are doing this very thing, tossing ideas, getting some feedback, building on ideas. You can also join us on Twitter and Facebook and send us your questions to dmtogmcast@gmail.com. We want to answer them for you to help you feel more comfortable playing games around the table.
And get started. You can do this.
You can do this.